Tonight, I want to talk to you on the subject of wrestling for prayer answers. And we are continuing our series, our teaching. We began to talk to you on how to carry a prayer burden, carrying a prayer burden. We also went over and we discussed how fasting strengthens prayer. We began to speak on levels of intensity and prevailing prayer. And yet tonight I want to talk to you and teach you how to remain in prayer and how to prevail, how to be triumphant, and how to be successful by wrestling for prayer answers. And tonight is level 6. And yet the Bible teaches a sixth level of prevailing prayer wrestling. Jesus wrestled in prayer in the garden. The Bible declares in the book of St. Luke, chapter 22 and verse 44, where it simply states, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The Bible also lets us know that Epaphras was always wrestling in prayer for the Galatian church. For the Bible declares in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring," hear me, "always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." So in both cases, we see here that this Greek word is used and related to the agonizing wrestling in the Greek Olympic-type games. And from it, we get our English word, agonize. So wrestling in prayer is agonizing in prayer. It is a prayer effort what's so strenuous that it becomes an agony. Agonizing prayer is always for a limited period of time. Why? Because the body cannot handle it. When Jesus agonized in the garden, it was for a period of about 3 hours. Epaphras agonized again and again, and he prayed for his beloved Christian in Galatia. We also see in Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. So let's read that again. "And so Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always," what? "Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." And verse 13 says, "For I bear him," what? "Record, that he has a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis." So we see this man praying and laboring. And so we see here now that a prayer burden may be experienced in varying degrees. But an agonizing prayer burden, a strenuous railing and wrestling in prayer, what is perhaps the highest level of prayer intensity of which man is capable. And no one ever wrestled in prayer like Jesus, whose sweat became like great balls and great drops or clots of blood. Ours will not be unto the blood, but blessed are those of his followers who have followed their Lord into mighty prayer wrestling. And so these efforts are often used by God to bring great victories. And yet, there is an interrelation between prayer burden and wrestling in prayer and prayer warfare. We're going to talk about that later on. But a prayer burden, what, is a heaviness of concern, what? But it does not necessarily include agonizing in prayer. Why? Because wrestling in prayer is a very intense prayer burden. It is a spiritual form of all-out attack on the strongholds of Satan, or a costly agony, what? Of Spirit-given holy desire. Prayer warfare is more of a long-term earnest prayer endeavor. Hear me. Prayer warfare is a more long-term earnest prayer endeavor. It is not an agonizing prayer, but it is prayer warfare, which may include a prayer burden and prayer wrestling from time to time. And yet it continues day after day until Satan is dislodged, hear me, until Satan is dislodged from lives, our situations, that he is determined to control. We're going to describe that a little bit later on as we talk more about that. And yet I heard Spirit say, wrestling in prayer is like we wrestle until fire falls and the blessings descend. And yet this wrestling in prayer may not be boisterous. It may not be loud, but quiet. It can be tenacious and urgent. And yet wrestling in prayer may be done silently, even in bed, maybe even with those around you that are not even aware that you are wrestling in prayer. Or it may involve strong crying and tears. The wrestling is done primarily in your spirit. Hear me. It is done deep within your spirit, and though it may affect your body. David began to let us know in the book of Psalms, and I want to go over to the book of Psalms. We see in the book of Psalms, chapter 70 and verse 5, and it reads where David begins to cry out. Why? Because he's pleading. He's pleading. And many of us would do well to know how David so prayed and how he prays and how he went into supplications and how he sought the Lord in some of his most trying times. And this is a part of wrestling in prayer. David begins to let us know in the book of Psalms, chapter 70 and verse 5, where he says, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, thou art my help and my deliverer." And then he says, "O Lord, make no tarrying. O Lord, make no tarrying." God, I don't need you to delay. I don't need you to hold back. I need you now, Father God. So he says, "O Lord, make no hasting. Make no tarrying." So we see that David, so well did he know how to praise, that his psalms have become the language of good men in all ages, and so well did he understand how to pray, that if we can catch his spirit and follow his mode of prayer, what we shall have learned to plead with God after the most prevalent sort. And as we take a look at this text, let us begin to consider our text then as one of the productions of a great master in spiritual matters. We're going to study it. Why? Because praying all the while that God will help us to pray after the like fashion. So in our text, hear me, in our text, we have the soul of a successful pleader. Under four aspects, I want to take a look at that. First, we see the soul confessing, because David begins to say, "I am poor and I am needy." We next have where we see the soul pleading, for he makes a plea out of his poor condition, and then he adds, "Make haste unto me, O God." We see now here. Thirdly, a soul in its urgency, for he cries, "Make haste." And he varies the expression, but keeps the same idea, "Make no tarrying." Yet you have in the fourth, the last view, a soul grasping for God. It's a soul grasping for God. For the psalmist puts it thus, "Thou art my help and my deliverer." Thus, with both hands, he lays hold upon his God so as not to let him go till a blessing is obtained. This is wrestling in prayer for answers. Where you hold on to God and said, "I'm not going to let you go." You become like the woman with the issue of blood. "I'm not going to let you go." You become like Jacob. "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Till you get your breakthrough." So we see here this model of supplication, a soul confessing, and yet the wrestler, David, the wrestler strips before he enters upon the contest, and confession does the like for the man who is about to plead with God. A racer on the plains of prayer cannot hope to win unless by confession, repentance, and faith. He lays aside every weight of sin. But I am poor and I am needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. So we see a soul that is in agony, a soul that is pleading. God will come quickly to help him. Book of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And it reads in St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to verse 52, where it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yet we should be like this blind man. No matter what people say, no matter what the situation may be, no matter what we're going through, we should always say, Father God, have mercy on me. Despite what I'm going through, I won't let it quiet me. I won't shut up. I'll keep yelling until I get my answer. I'll keep yelling and screaming and crying before the throne of God until I get my breakthrough. So we see in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Blind man got his attention. Out of all the people, he heard this man. He heard his plea. He heard his supplication. To the point that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. And he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now this man had a revelation. He had insight. He said, that I might receive my sight. But before he got his sight, he had insight. He had inner sight because he recognized something in Jesus Christ. He had insight that if he could just yell loud enough, somehow the master would hear him. And he might get his prayers answered. So he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So we see this blind man in the gospel had to feel his blindness and to sit by the wayside begging if he had entertained a doubt as to whether he were blind or not, the Lord would have passed him by. And so he opens the eyes of those who confess what their blindness. But of others, he says, because ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. He asks of those who are brought to him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In order what that their need may be publicly avowed. What do you need me to do for you? That is the first step. What is it that you want out of me? What is it that you want from me? And so it must be so with us, and we must offer what? The confession, or we cannot gain what? The benediction. Why? Because God knows your guilt already. So we see in David, he goes into the details of what he is going through. And yet, and quite often, we got to go into the details of our sin and our secret acknowledgments before God. We must strip ourselves of all excuses and make no apologies. Why? Because against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. And so we're talking about this wrestling in prayer, and your heart must be pure. You must confess your sins. You must confess all of your wrongs. Never expect the King of Heaven to pardon a traitor. Never expect the King of Heaven to pardon and to bless and answer someone who is not living right, or yet someone who has sin in them. If we will not confess and forsake the part of us that is not correct, then how can we expect for the King to give us our answers in prayer? And so we see David pleading. We see that his soul has unburdened itself of all weights of merit and self-sufficiency. It proceeds to prayer. And so we have before us what? A soul pleading. He says, I am poor and needy. And we have before us, we see this soul that is pleading. I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. So he's wrestling for prayer answers. O Lord, make no tarrying. And so let us begin to perceive these four pleas in this single verse. Yet we must know how to wrestle in prayer and be like David. You see, faith will boldly plead of God's gracious relationships. She will say to him, art thou not the creator? Will thou forsake the work of thine own hands? Art thou not the redeemer? Thou hast redeemed thy servant. Wilt thou cast me away? So faith, hear me, faith must work alongside wrestling with prayer. Faith usually delights to lay hold upon the fatherhood of God. A father, and wilt thou not provide? A father, hast thou no sympathy and no bowels of compassion? A father, and canst thou deny what thine own child asks of thee? So whenever I am a little dispirited in my own life, whenever I'm a little dispirited and discouraged in my prayer, I find the short and sweet remedy is to remember that although God is a great God, though God is a good God, although he is a great king and infinitely glorious, I am his child. You are his child. I am his child. And no matter who the father is, but the child may always be bold with his father. Yes, faith can plead. Hear me. Yes, faith can plead, and all the relationship in which God stands to his chosen. So father too can pay heaven with the divine promises. So we must go for a blessing and not be satisfied till we have it, like the hunter who is not satisfied. Why? Because he has run so many miles but is never content till he takes his prey. So faith, moreover, pleads the performances of God. She looks back on the past and says, Lord, thou didst deliver me on such and such occasion. Will thou fail me now? She, moreover, takes her life as a whole and pleads us, after so much mercy pass, will thou let me sink at last? Hear me. Prayer says, after so much mercy pass, will thou let me sink at last? Hast thou brought me so far that I may be put to shame at the end? She knows how to bring the ancient mercies of God and make them arguments for present favors. But your time would all be gone if I tired to exhibit even a thousand part of faith, please. So, as in this text, it is by no means according to the proud rule of human nature of plead. He says, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. It is like another prayer of David where he says, have mercy upon my iniquity, for it is great. Yet we all know the story of the Phoenician woman that is a great instance of a woman's faith. She came to Christ about her daughter, and he answered her not a word. What do you think her heart says? Why, she said in herself, it is well, for he has not denied me. Since he has not spoken at all, he has not denied me, he has not refused me. With this for an encouragement, she begins to plead again. Presently, Christ spoke to her sharply. Then her brave heart says, I have gained the words. I have gained words from him at last. I shall have deeds from him by and by. That also cheered her. And then when he called her a dog, my God, he called her a dog. Ah! She reasoned, but a dog is a part of the family. It has some connection with the master of the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Though it does not eat meat from the table, it gets the crumbs under it. And so I have thee now, great master, dog as I am, the great mercy that I asked of thee, great as it is to me, it is only a crumb to thee. Oh, hallelujah. Granted then, I beseech thee, because she failed to have her request impossible. Faith has a will, hear me. When faith has a will, she always finds a way. She will, and she will win the day when all things befold defeat. So faith pleads a singular, but let me add, faith pleads are always sound. For after all, it is a very telling plea to urge that we are poor and needy. So he says, make haste, make haste. So we see here now, we see a soul in his urgent prayer. A soul in his urgent. He says, make haste unto me, O God. O Lord, make no tarrying. Yet we may well be urgent with God. If as yet we are not saved, for our need is urgent. So he says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste, help me, O Lord. And yet yours is not a case that can bear lingering. You have no time to procrastinate. So be urgent, for your need is so. And if you are urgent tonight, if you are urgent, I'm glad of it, saints, to everyone that is on this line. If you need an urgent answer, if you need God to come and rescue you, I am glad for you tonight. Because I want to teach you how to wrestle in prayer like David. Become a great wrestler. God will come to bless you, and he will come speedily. When your sense of need becomes deep and urgent, oh, how great it is. Oh, how great is this church need. Oh, how great is your need tonight. Don't grow cold. Don't allow it to. hold you back. Don't give up. Don't waver in your faith. Don't waver in your wrestling and prayer for answers. So we see this soul grasping God. Yet this is another art and mystery of prayer. The soul grasping God. She has pleaded. She has been urgent. But now she comes to close quarters. She grasps the covenant angel with one hand. Thou art my help. And with the other, thou art my deliverer. Oh, those blessed minds, those potent minds, the sweetness of the Bible lies in the possessive pronouns, and he who is taught to use them, as the psalmist did, what shall come off a conqueror with the eternal God. No sinner, I pray, God, that thou mayest be helped to save this, the blessed Christ of God. Say, thou art my help and my deliverer. Perhaps you mourn that you cannot get that length. But poor soul, hast thou any other help? If thou hast, then thou canst not hold two helpers with what? Well, with the same hand. Oh, no. I have no help anywhere. I have no hope except in Christ. Well then, since thy hand is empty, thy empty hand what was made on purpose, what? To grasp the Lord. Come on, to grasp the Lord. To grasp the Lord with. Lay hold on him. Say to him this day, Lord, I hang on thee. I hang on thee as poor, lame Jacob did. Now, I cannot help myself. I cleave to thee. I cannot let thee go except thou bless me. Yes, it would be bold, says one, but the Lord loves holy boldness in all of us. What does the word say itself? It says, let him lay hold on my strength. Let him lay hold on my strength. You see, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Hear me. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Oh, for grace to grasp almighty love in this fashion. See, we want a more hold fast prayer, more tugging and gripping and wrestling that saith, I will not let thee go. This picture of Jacob, let it be ours, that we're wrestling in prayer, that we're wrestling in prayer. So we see this poor man's strength shivering under the withering touch. But in his weakness, what, he is still strong. We're talking about Jacob. He is still strong. He throws his arms around the mysterious man and holds him as in a deep grip. Then the other says, let me go, what, for the day breaketh. Mark, he did not shake him off. He only said, let me go. See, he didn't shake him off. He said, let me go. So then the angel will do nothing to force him to relax his hold. He leaves that to his voluntary will. The prevailing Jacob cries, no, I am set on it. I am resolved to win an answer to my prayer. I will not let thee go except thou bless me now. You see, when the church begins to pray, maybe at first, the Lord will make as though he would have gone further, and we may fear that no answer will be given. I want to say today, hold on, saints, hold on. Be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, notwithstanding all. Grasp with a tighter clutch than ever. Remember, the longer the blessing is coming, the richer what it will be. So, the longer the blessing is coming, the richer it will be when it arrives. You see, that which is gained speedily by a single prayer is sometimes only a second-rate blessing. But that which is gained, hear me, but that which is gained after many a desperate tug and many an awkward struggle, it is full. Listen, it is full of weighted and precious blessings. The blessing which costs us the most prayer will be worth the most. Only let us be persevering, what, in supplication, and we shall gain a far-reaching blessing. So as we're continuing, I want to begin to emphasize that these levels of intense intercession are not self-induced. They are spirit-given. Hear me, they are spirit-given. You do not work up your emotions, but instead you yield to Spirit's mighty prevailings in you. All the Spirit's workings within you are dependent on your yielding yourself to his leading, to your deep life in the Spirit, so that he can impart to you his own holy longings and passions. I need you all to get that. And yet you strive and you toil, but you do so, what? Because within you is a hard cry that reflects the hard cry of our Lord. You see, God knows your body and its limits. It will be too much for you physically and nervously to share a burden every moment, to agonize in wrestling and prayer for long periods of time, what? And to be constantly involved in prayer warfare. It would wear you down physically. And so God wants you to have times of joyous prayer communion, deep resting in God's faithfulness and basking in his peace. The Holy Spirit exercises good stewardship of your body, for it is his temple. Hear me, it is his temple. You do not lose the spirit of prevailing prayer at such times. When you are living in the Spirit, hear me, when you are living in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and guided by the Spirit, you are instantly available for the Spirit's assignment of intensified, prevailing, availing, and triumphant prayer when he needs that level of prayer from you. But you got to be a willing vessel. You must lead a life of consecration. So wrestling prayer is spiritual labor. Hear me. Wrestling in prayer is spiritual labor. All intercession is real and serious communication with God. It is not casual. Even when beautifully simple, it is sacred and important to God and to us. It is kingdom action. It is kingdom ministry. But prevailing prayer, hear me, but prevailing prayer, especially in its more intense form, includes labor, effort, and perseverance. So then, prayer, prevailing, wrestling prayer can be the most difficult work that you and I can do. It demands total sincerity, intense desire, full consecration, and whole-souled, hear me, whole-souled determination. It requires self-discipline to give full priority to your seeking God's answers. It does not make you a recluse, but does cause you to choose between what is good and what is best. its holy worth and potential, what can separate you from the trivial, the purely secular, things and things that are of the world. Why? Because you are becoming so much more spiritually and spiritually used by the Lord. You have no time for mess. So prayer can be the most intense form of Christian warfare. Prayer is so simple, so natural, that even a child can pray. But prevailing prayer, hear me, prevailing prayer can draw upon an avail of all one's spiritual experience and spiritual and physical energy and all of one's mental, emotional, and spiritual resources. Probably one reason so few wrestle in prayer is that so few are prepared for its rigorous demands. It can be very spiritually exhausting and physically demanding because you're wrestling like Jacob. And so what you're doing, you're wrestling in your spirit, which can have its toll on your mind, on your emotions, and on your physical body, because you are praying like Jesus in the garden. You are wrestling like Jacob. And so the body don't really understand all that is happening, but it begins to feel the toll and the weight of your agonizing wrestling in prayer for answers. Yet you recognize what? That the success of an urgent endeavor, the life of a sick one, the life of a sick one, the eternal destiny of an unsaved one, the honor of the name of God, and the welfare of the kingdom of God may be at stake. So wrestling in prayer enlists all the powers of your soul and your deepest holy desire, and uses all the perseverance of your holy determination. You push through a host of difficulties. You push back the heavy, threatening clouds of darkness. Oh, so great the work, but so great the reward. You reach beyond the visible to the very throne of God with all your strength and tenacity. You lay hold of God's grace and power. Well, it becomes a passion of your soul. See, there is always the sweat of blood and prevailing intercession. Wrestling in prayer has a spiritual importunity that refuses to be denied. It is humble, it is submissive, yet holy boldness that dares to remind God of his divine responsibility, dares to quote to God his unbreakable promises, and ventures to hold God accountable to his holy word. Are y'all seeing this? Are y'all getting this tonight? When Jacob dared to continue wrestling with the supernatural being during his night of prayer, in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31, he dared, he said to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. And we went over that. We see that in verse 26. Jacob had already wrestled all night, refusing to stop until he prevailed. God was doing a transforming work in his nature. He was being brought to the end of himself, but his position, hear me, but this position made him bold in faith. A new Jacob prevails with God because God had prevailed over him. No, Jacob was not impertinent. He was now on prevailing ground. The wrestling in prayer, a quality a prayer, does not spring from physical strength or fleshly energy. It is not an impulsive energy, not a mere earnestness of soul. It is an inwrought force. It is something that's deep in you, a force, a faculty, implanted and aroused by the Holy Spirit. Virtually, it is the intercession, hear me, it is the intercession of the Spirit of God in us. It is spiritual labor. You see, you do not wrestle apart from the Holy Spirit. Only He can give you the holy boldness that is at the same time what submissive to God, yet bold to insist on God's promise, bold in the very face of God. Yet Jesus, as the Son of Man, was filled with the Spirit at His baptism, and He returned from Jordan full of the Holy Spirit. He returned to Galilee in power of the Spirit, announced that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he healed what? Because the power of the Lord was present for him to heal. I want to head over to St. Luke, chapter 5, verse 17. And it reads, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, then there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." So he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Where he said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he healed because of the power of the Lord that was present for him to heal. So he spoke, and people were healed. Spoke, and demons were cast out. Spoke, and water was turned into wine. Spoke, and wind and wave obeyed him. Spoke, and the dead was risen to life. But when it came to prayer, he prayed for hours. He prayed for hours at times all night. He wrestled, agonized, and cried out with loud cries and tears. It may take more of God's power to wrestle in prayer than to perform a miracle. Hear me. It may take more of God's power to wrestle in prayer than to perform a miracle. Saddened me many times, people move into the lack of wrestling in prayer. There is a marked absence of travail. There is much phrasing, but little pleading. Hear me. There is much phrasing, but little pleading. Prayer has to become a soliloquy, which is spelled S-O. L-I-L-O-Q-U-Y, which means the act of talking to oneself. Webster also defines it as a traumatic monologue that represents a series of unspoken reflections. It also defines it as a serious speech that a character in play makes to an audience and that reveals the character's thoughts. Soliloquy, the act of talking to oneself or an audience. And then so we see here that prayer has become a soliloquy instead of a passion. The powerlessness of the church needs no other explanation. So to be prayerlessness is to be both passionless and powerlessness. Powerless. The great Martin Luther was a man of constant prayer. He prayed morning and evening and often during the day. Even during meals, he repeated, memorized prayers again and again, especially the Lord's Prayer, and he prayed the Psalms. But when he had a prayer burden, his prayer became a storm. What? His prayer became a storm of wrestling with God, the power, the greatness, and holy simplicity of which it is difficult what, to compare with others. Of human emotions. And so let your wrestling with God be of like manner, where you pour your soul, you pour your soul, hear me, you pour your soul in holy emotion and bold complaint and even seriously exhorted God. such mighty prevailing in prayer. In prayer, where we move to the point where we enlarge our soul in prayer. May your wrestle in prayer be like David. May your wrestling in prayer be like Jesus. May your wrestling in prayer be like Jacob. I'm going to be closing shortly. But I want to say to you, as you're moving into wrestling in prayer for answers, know that you're wrestling with an unseen power. Sometimes you're wrestling with demonic forces. But I want you to know, keep your eyes on the Lord. When praying, keep your eyes fixed on the great intercessor, the great arbitrator, the great I am, which is Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the great intercessor as he was in the garden, upon the drops of blood which fell on the ground in the agony of resignation and sacrifice. When I was young, I used to watch wrestling, and I did a little bit of wrestling in school. And yet in Olympic-type games, even in ancient Greek, each wrestler sought to throw the other opponent on the ground and put his foot upon the neck of the other wrestler. And yet it involved mighty, unrelenting, agonizing until victory. And this is what wrestling in prayer is. And this is a term Paul used for this level of prevailing prayer, calling it both agonizing in Galatians chapter 4, verse 12, and then wrestling in Ephesians 6 and 12. And so we begin to see, as we're looking at Scripture here, and I want to just head over to Ephesians 6 and 12 quickly here, and we're just about finished. Let's head over to Ephesians 6 and 12, where it begins to really let us know, for we wrestle not, what, against flesh and blood, what, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. And so Paul reminds us, what, of the reason we are not just wrestling with stubborn or prejudiced human beings. Behind them, what, are rulers. Behind them are authorities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness from the spirit world, what, fulfilling Satan's, what, deceptive strategies. For it further reads, even in Ephesians 6 and 11, where it says, put on the whole armor of God, that, what, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, what, but against principalities, against rulers of the darkness of this world. And so it is an unrelenting conflict. Why? Because Satan's dark forces are ever on the offensive, what, against the church of Christ, against you and I, against believers, ever seeking to deceive, to dominate, and to destroy, and rout the forces of Christ. But we shall prevail. Hear me, saints, we shall prevail. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we're coming against the princes of darkness. We're coming against those rulers of darkness. Yet few Christians know much in personal experience about wrestling against such forces and warring through prayer. See, you want to learn how to war in prayer. So the question may be, and I want to share a few reasons here, several reasons here, why do we wrestle and why do you wrestle? And I'm going to share with you seven points. Get your pen and get your paper. Why do we wrestle? And so why has God planned for us to wrestle? Well, I hope you got your seat in the ground tonight, because I got to give you your instructions. It is not finished until I give you the instructions. It's the prescription.
Because when a true prophet gives you a prophetic word, they will also give you a prescription. If you go to the doctor for a checkup and they notice something in your body, you would never leave the doctor's office without getting a prescription. So we're in the classroom of God right now, and some instructions are being laid down now. And I need you to be attentive. So why has God planned for us to wrestle? And yet the overarching purposes of God included developing us spiritually. See, God wants to develop us spiritually and making us partners and warriors now, so that we can share in the triumph and rewards of victory in eternity. It is of God's grace and love that he has ordained that his most faithful intercessors wrestle in prayer. So then, beloved, I need y'all to get this tonight. I need y'all to stay with me tonight. I need you to hang on just a little bit more longer tonight. Don't become faint. Because I'm talking to you about wrestling in prayer for answers. You can have all your needs met. Whatever you need from God, I want to teach you how to wrestle in prayer for it. But you cannot give up. You cannot be weary. You cannot be faint. Don't become weary in your well-doing. Stay strong. Stay faithful. Stay committed to the things of God. He will reward you. He will provide for you. God is looking for spiritual warriors, those that know how to war in the realm of the spirit, those that know how to endure to the end. So number one of the seven reasons on why we wrestle in prayer, number one, to help us realize what our dependence upon God. You see, the more deeply we sense our own impotence and helplessness, the more fully we can cast ourselves upon God. Why? Because humanity is always the first step to God's grace and God's power. I wish I had someone to read a couple of scriptures to me, and I don't know if Minister Rashawn is available or he had to maybe perhaps go to work tonight, but I have a few scriptures that I'm going to need some of you to read, somebody to read for me. Bless you, man of God. How you doing tonight? Yeah, how can I not masanda?
I'm fired up. Come on, Bishop. I'm ready.
Are you getting anything tonight?
Jesus, Bishop, a lot. Come on. I'm with you. When you need
I want you
me,
to write these scriptures down. I'm going to tell you to read. First one you're going to write down for me is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11.
Okay.
And then I want you to write for me Luke 22, verse 31.
Okay.
And then your next one is going to be 2 Corinthians 11 and 14.
Okay.
And then read for me 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. And I'll tell you when. And then Ephesians 6 and 18. And then I think that should be it.
Amen.
So, number one of the seven reasons we wrestle is what to help us realize our dependence upon God, and number two, to help us share Christ's heart. Number two, to help us share Christ's heart. Why? Because Christ is the great wrestler. He wrestled in prayer with the powers of darkness while on earth. The day of wrestling is not over until the enemy is bound and cast out. Now Christ must wrestle through us. Hear me, Christ must wrestle through us, but he is on the throne. Listen, he is on the throne. And because he's on the throne, must share his heartbeat with us so that we can see the world, the loss, and the opposing demonic forces from his perspective. Why? Because wrestling helps us share his vision. Hear me. Wrestling in prayer helps us share his vision. Why? His hatred of sin and his holy determination, to bring us to the next level, to cause us to move into the marvelous light, to be victorious, to remove the enemy from out of our lives and to the lives of the people of God. Number three of the seven reasons on why we wrestle, to teach us spiritual alertness. to teach us spiritual alertness. Paul recognized that Satan constantly tries to deceive and outwit us, and we must be beware of his schemes. Read, son, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11.
And it reads, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
So, we're not ignorant of his devices. Why? Because he tries to sift us like wheat. Read Luke 22 and verse 31. So Paul recognized this, but also Scripture lets us know that the enemy attempts to sift us as wheat, like he was attempting to sift Peter like wheat. And yet Jesus says, I've already prayed for you. And that's the marvelous thing about the kingdom of God. That's the wonderful thing about King Jesus. Why? Because before we sin, he prays for us. And then after
yes,
we sin, he prays for us. So there is prayer always before us, and then there is prayer always behind us, covering us, protecting us, and leading us, and guiding us, and forgiving us for our acts and our sins. And so he says, I've already prayed for you, Peter, and I know what you're going to go through. Though you may deny what I'm about to tell you, though you may deny me three times, I've already prayed for you, Peter, before the sin, and then after the sin, I'm praying for your strength. Why? Because I need for you to go and strengthen your brothers.
Come on.
So prayer proceeds, but then it also is behind us. Oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God for Calvary.
Jesus.
It is through his blood that can make me white as snow. It is through his blood that my sins are covered. It is through his blood. And so Paul recognized this. And so Satan tries to sift us like we read Luke 22 and verse 31.
And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Wow. Satan has decided to have you. And yet he masquerades as an angel of light. We see that in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. Read, son.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Wow. So he comes as an angel of light. Wow. And number three of the seven reasons why, it is to teach us spiritual alertness so that we can be aware, so that we're not ignorant. So that we can not only pray, but also watch. Watch as well as pray. So that we can be spiritually attuned and wise to the things of God, but also the schemes and the tricks of the enemy. And so the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. Read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9.
Be sober. Be vigilant. Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. So we see here that wrestling in prayer teaches us to be alert and always keep on praying. Read Ephesians 6 and 18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for
Jesus.
All saints.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so we see here, just as a wrestler must be alert to every move of his opponent makes, wrestling teaches us to keep awake and alert for God. Number four of the seven reasons on why we wrestle in prayer. To teach us spiritual passion. To teach us spiritual passion. To teach us spiritual passion. The more we wrestle in prayer, the more deeply the Holy Spirit is able to fire us up with His passion and His holy but vehement opposition, what, to Satan and all Satan's deceits, his strategies, and his forces. To teach us spiritual passion. Number five of the seven reasons on why we wrestle in prayer, to teach us the secrets of triumphant overcoming. To teach us the secrets of triumphant overcoming. Why? Well, why? Because we learn to triumph by the Spirit's helping us triumph. And this is in no textbook mock battle. We learn the deceits of Satan by confronting them. We learn the use and power of our spiritual weapons by using them. We learn spiritual warfare by confronting the powers of darkness in prayer. We learn spiritual warfare here by confronting the powers of darkness in prayer. Victory requires skill as well as might. The Spirit teaches us spiritual skills as we wrestle. Become an assassin, a sniper. You know instantly what is of God and what is not God. And you destroy it instantly. Hey, haya na na moshanda. God's looking for spiritual warriors. Number six of the seven reasons why we wrestle in prayer, to strengthen our faith. Oh, the cry of David. Strengthen us, our faith. Why? Because faith is made purer and stronger by overcoming the resistance that we face in prayer and the obstacles to the answers of prayer. Faith is strengthened by exercise. Hear me. Faith is strengthened by exercise. Are you exercising your faith muscles? Faith is strengthened by exercise. We must feed on the Word and live in the Spirit. That's how you strengthen your faith muscles. You live by the Word. You eat the Word of God. But only as we put faith in practice do we move from theatrical faith to faith as God's means of victory. Faith seems mightiest in the simple trust of the new believer and in the mature militant faith, hear me, in the mature militant faith, what, of the battle-tested warrior.
Mm.
Many of us, something shows up, we begin to move into doubt. We begin to move into fear. We become spiritually weak. We have no faith. The minute the tests show up, we're complaining and we're arguing and we don't wonder why this is happening. And yet we fail the test. Why? Because we're talking in the midst of the test. And then you got to repeat it all over again, and it doesn't get any easier. It magnifies. God is looking for a battle-tested warrior. Why? Because faith must become more than a confidence in Jesus. It must become a strong shield in battle and a mighty spiritual weapon of attack. Like a spiritual muscle, the more we use faith, the more it becomes tough and powerful.
Come on.
We're almost closing. Number seven of the seven reasons on why we wrestle in prayer. To enable us amass prayer resources. You see, faith is the currency of the kingdom. We told you that before. Faith, like money is the currency on this earth, faith is the currency of the kingdom. The more of it you have, the more valuable you have. The more of it you have, the more wealthy you are of it. Because faith and wrestling prayer must go hand in hand. Allow faith to work in you today. Let faith use you. So to enable us to amass prayer resources. See, intensive prayer, in particular prayer wrestling and prayer warfare, can be amazed as if we were a bank reserve or a spiritual treasure. Just as an army needs to amass weapons and ammunition and reserves before an all-out attack, so God prepares what? So God prepares for spiritual breakthrough. We see this law of prayer at work even what? Even with the angels. Daniel prayed, and Gabriel fought with the demons, what, representing Satan, for 3 weeks before God amassed the divine power of prayer and had Michael join Gabriel in the spiritual warfare. Can I tell you that when you're moving and wrestling in prayer, that there are angels on your side as well? Your angel, the Holy Spirit, is wrestling on your is on your side, and they're fighting with you as well, and they're wrestling with you as well. Prophet, go to Daniel chapter 10, and I want you to read verses 2 and 3 and verses 12 and 13. We're almost there, saints. Get your seed in the ground tonight, because I got to give you your instructions. Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, and then verses 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. Because this whole incident is a mystery, but it is clearly revealed in the Word. Go ahead, man of God.
Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, verse 2, and it reads, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled."
So he put aside things. Now, this is amazing again now. For 3 weeks he prayed. And so he didn't eat things that was pleasing to his flesh or delightful to his tongue. He put aside some things. He went on account of a Daniel, a light kind of a fast where he didn't eat certain things. Why? Because he was also a food taster, and he was also a person of power and authority. So he had to eat around certain individuals. But he put aside certain things that was delightful to him. And he was praying. Go ahead, man of God.
And verse 12 begins to read, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia."
Now, there's something very powerful there, and I just heard it. He said, "I have come for what? Your words?"
Yes, I have come for thy words.
So an angel is always coming for your words.
Come on.
Proverbs says, "Curse not the king, or a bird of the air will go and tell it." Birds symbolize thoughts and words. "Curse not the king, or a bird of the air will come and tell it, and thou will never be rich. You will move into poverty. Don't curse wealth." And so we see here, and so the angel said, "I have come for your words." Tonight, an angel is coming for your words. Hey! An angel is coming for your words, because I have instructions for you. And what words are you saying? Are complaints in your words? Are mumbling in your words? What words are you saying and speaking? Because an angel is going to come for your words tonight according to the instructions that I must give you.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, Hayanana Moshanda. Spirit always comes for your words. As a man thinketh, so is he. Why? Because an angel, a spirit, has come for your words to make it so. Saints, we're moving in a very powerful season. The fact that you're on this call, your words have much power. Tonight, an angel is coming for your words. An angel is coming for your words. He has been dispatched from the heavens. He's coming for your words. And so this whole incident is a mystery, but it is clearly revealed in the Word. The disciples fell. Why? Because they had not been praying enough. They had not been amazing, sufficient prayer. Read St. Mark chapter 9, verse 29.
And it reads.
Go ahead, son.
"And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fast. Jesus, how do you do what you do? No. Don't get it twisted. This ain't just by prayer. I deny myself. I have meat that ye know not of. I eat from the bread of heaven. I eat spiritual meat. I'm in the Father's presence. I'm dwelling with him. I'm watching the Father. Why? Because it says, I am the Father are one. I and my Father one, which means that I watched his acts. I ate of the words that fell out of his mouth.
Come on now.
I mimicked what I saw the Father do. I stayed in his presence. I studied the Father. I studied the Father. I studied the Father, and I mimicked the Father. And so what I am about to do and what I am doing, it doesn't just come by prayer. It comes by fasting and prayer. Add prayer to your fasting. Add fasting to your prayer. And then throw a little bit of sprinkle it with a little bit of faith.
Come on. Yes, Lord.
Yeah. You start building up your spiritual account. You start building up your spiritual muscles. Oh, you become a warrior. You become a time-tested. Why? Because you've overcome. Why? Because you've overcome by the word of your mouth. By the word, by your faith, you have overcome. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. You want to build up your spiritual account. You want to begin to amass wealth. Spiritual wealth. Why? Because faith is kingdom currency. Faith is kingdom currency. Faith is kingdom currency. Put it to work, and it will work for you. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I want you to write down, if you've done the 47:17, I want you to write down four things that you want God to do for you. Now, you're going to write down on there a loved one that maybe you need, want to be saved. Write down as many as you want, praying for someone else's good. I want you to intercede and wrestle on behalf of someone else. Maybe it's you physically. Maybe you need a major, major breakthrough. Let God choose to bless you in the way that he chooses, in the way he likes. Maybe someone that needs healing in their body. Maybe it's for your pastor. Maybe it's for your church. Maybe it's for one of your children. Write their names down. Maybe it's for debt to be wiped out. I want you to write down four things. And those that have done the seed of the $70.50, I want you to write down seven things. I want you to write it on a piece of paper. And I want you to take that string, roll that paper up, and I want you to tie it in a knot. Because we're going to tie this thing up in the realm of the Spirit. You're going to tie it up till it be no more. You're going to tie it up. And you're going to, because the tying up is going to symbolize that you're cutting it off. You're going to tie that thing up in the Spirit and it says, no more. You're going to tie a lost soul to Jesus Christ. Hey, Hananamogoshanda. You're going to tie someone to healing in their body. And then I want you to put it in your Bible, either in Psalms 40, verse 17, or Psalms chapter 70, verse 5. And every day, I want you just to call it out. I want you to call those things out. Just ask the Lord if it's for someone that they will come into the kingdom of God and come out of the kingdom of darkness. If it's for Granny, that God will heal her body. If it's for an honored uncle, that God will do a miracle in their life. And you are to read this Psalms, one of these Psalms, as often as you can, as much as you can. And you're going to be pleading your case. And like any good father that loves his child, God will respond. Because it pleasures the Father to bless you. It pleases the Father to see your prayers being answered. Hallelujah.